So it's real good to see you tonight. Thank you all for coming. No flash floods tonight, but then certainly you learn a few things. Anytime I'm here, the weather's usually beautiful. But here we are tonight. Thank the Lord for his kindness and care. And we appreciate the weekend that has just passed and for all the labor and toil of our beloved brethren and sisters and the word opened by our beloved brethren. We certainly give the Lord all the glory. And it's interesting to hear a lady that knows nothing about this company in another country just appreciating what was said and so on. Now I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight, and I want to just maybe go a little further on the theme that we had in the Bible reading on 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. Thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it. Notice this first expression. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now that phrase, the last days, we had that in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Look at the buts in the next part of the chapter. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And that's all we want to read tonight. And I want to just take a few minutes and give you a summary of this particular chapter. We have certainly concerns in our generation. And the way we're structured, sometimes people get occupied with all the negative side. And there's no doubt about it, it's a reality. I talk to believers all the time, even in emails and all the rest of it. And people are despondent. And they're concerned. And some are stressed out. And not a bit of wonder. However, there's the other side. That's what I want to point out to you tonight. There's a balance in all this. That's why we sung that hymn. There is a glorious morrow. We will be delivered from these things. And even though conditions are deteriorating, we have a great God. We have a holy Bible. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have a New Testament assembly wherever it's located. And so here we are tonight on this big point. Let me just point out to you again that three writers at least in the New Testament have a message for last day conditions. And we have read a little about it here, verse number 1. Perilous times, difficult times, the last days, those days prior to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, one word we could write over this chapter, the environment in which we live. That's what some of the verses are all about. John is another man. See, in 1 John chapter 2, he talks about the last time. It's the last hour. It's the same idea. He has a concern. And he definitely deals with the error of false teachers. Now I understand there's an overlap in the three writers. But all you have to do is read John's writings and you'll find out that the spirit of Antichrist is right in our generation. And so we need to understand we're in the end times. It cannot continue. Changes will happen overnight, and the Lord will come. Then, of course, we've already looked at Peter, and Peter has something to talk about the last days, and the scoffers, the error of their teaching, and we've been over some of that. So these three men, Peter, and John and Paul dovetail about the last days. So we want to focus tonight from this standpoint. You and I have a privilege, an honor, an opportunity to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in these conditions. That's what 2 Timothy is all about. Paul is telling the younger man coming on, in the environment that you will pass through, Timothy, there are helps and there are hindrances. There's the balance. And we exactly have the same thing in our day and generation. I would say it's a privilege to prove the Lord in these circumstances. Some places, the testimony's weak. Other places, there are larger companies, and they really don't know the word. And all of us need help. And I like that song that we give out there tonight, 129. Twice over it says, and bless us while we wait on thee. Would you like to have the blessing of the Lord in your life? Absolutely. And so, as Paul leaves for heaven, Timothy is coming on. He needs direction. He needs encouragement. He needs to be instructed. And he needs to know how to prove God in his own life. And of course, He's called the man of God. We often point out when we're in 1 Timothy, it's the house of God. When we're in 2 Timothy, it's the man of God. When we're in Titus, it's the grace of God. Now, I won't even look at the context of those tonight, but they all go together. Here's a very, very simple way of looking at 2 Timothy. Four sections in four chapters. Chapter 1, Paul encourages Timothy. He's saying, you know, that good thing, that deposit that has been given to you, you keep it, guard it by the Holy Spirit of God. That's verse 14 of chapter 1. All of us today, no matter what way you cut it, we need to be encouraged. See chapter 2, it's a further thought. There he wants to instruct the younger man. And he is saying to him, be thou therefore strong in the grace. Keep on being strong in the grace that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 1. See the chapter that we have read from? Here now he warns them. A lot of these verses have to do with warning, the warning note. This know that in the last days, perilous, the word is difficult times shall come. We're right living in it right now. So we need to be warned to see what it's all about. And then, of course, in chapter 4, he's charging them before God and the elect angels and all the rest of it. The time of the apostles' life is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. And very likely in a very short time, after he put down his pen in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's home in heaven. Timothy is going to miss him. He has been laboring with a father and a son through all the years from the second missionary journey commenced there in Acts chapter 16. So, we're in the end times. People ask, well, what should we do? Do we get down under it? And get all stressed out and depressed? Well, we've got to recognize, I've told you, where we're living. But we want to notice that we're on the triumphant side, the side that has won. There are certain key words in each of the chapters of this second letter. I have already pointed out to you, I've read them to you. One of the key words right here in this chapter 3, the word but. And after he has gone through all the different things, as we'll see in a minute, but these shall proceed no further. That's the butt of comfort. Obviously, things are going to deteriorate. But we take comfort that they'll only go so far, and the Lord Jesus Christ will step in. Here's the contrast. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known. That's the butt of confirmation. The young man goes back to likely, chapter 14 of Acts, he was likely a boy at the time, and when he knew all about what happened to Paul in Lystra and all the rest of it. Here's another one, verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's the butt of contrast. See, one is help, and the other is hindrance. These two things go together in our day and generation. And so he says in verse number 14, for example, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That's the butt of continuance. Doesn't matter what's going to happen out there. We need to continue by the grace of God. And you see, There's another one here in verse number 11. Listen to this. He talks about these locations in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. That's a compensation. That's the butt of compensation. I tell you, this man went through privations. All you have to do is read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you'll understand what one anatomy could handle in the work of God. What it says here, he was delivered from it all. Now I'm going to make a suggestion to you, and I'll just give you the high spots and you can fill in the details. This chapter of warning of the last days, it divides into three simple sections. Number one, verses 1-9. That's the vileness of society in Timothy's day and in our day. Lovers of self. Lovers, as 1 Timothy shows, of silver. Lovers of self more than lovers of God. Conditions in 2015. That would make a whole thing, especially in the Western world. See, that's the first section. The vileness of society. That will express in one sentence or one phrase even the content of those first 9 verses. See verses 10 to 13, the ministry changes. Here, it's the virtues of service. Living for the Savior. That's what Paul did. That's why he encourages the younger man to do the same. And then in verses 14 through 17, it's the value of the Scriptures. Learning the sacred letters from an infant and right through till we become a man of God and so on. You have your Bible open. I'll just go down this in a few minutes. See the three divisions, verses 1-9, the vileness of society. We've been praying, for example, over this weekend, or even tonight, of the laws that have been introduced in the North American continent, obnoxious to the eye and heart of a holy God. But God has allowed it. The center section, verses 10 through 15, the virtues of service. Occupy till I come. Don't be a bit afraid. No matter what happens out there, we have our commission to serve Him. And then, of course, the value of the Scriptures. What an opportunity. And what provision has been made for us for last day conditions. Now, I enjoyed it just recently this way. Let me talk for a minute or two about the vileness of society. Now, I'm not going to go down each of the different words. That's depressing. But we want to make sure we know they're there. See, if you have your Bible open, verses 2-5, we have the characteristics of the vile society. At least 18 words that are used. The emphasis, living for self. That's what produces all these other things. Just pause a minute to think of the vileness of society, even in our generation. From we were young people to this point. The deterioration, for example, in the last 50 years of the contemporary society of planet Earth. Deterioration all the way. We might as well be aware of the characteristics of these people. Now don't forget that it's very effective in this environment. Because in verses 6 and 7, we have converts. So many are being occupied and taken up with conditions in this corrupt society. And our families, I might add, are growing up in this very environment. And we as God's people need to be aware of what's happening. See, if you have your Bible open, look at verse number 6, for example. These people, their doctrine and their practice are vile. They lead captive silly women behind the scenes and all that goes on. What a concern. We thank God for all the positive notes of our families that have grown up in assemblies. But the balance that we know some even recently, and they have got caught up in this corrupt society and became one of the converts of these people and have died undesired. Sad. We have personal knowledge of some of these folk. I go back over the years. 40 years ago, some of these people sat in our Bible class there in Vancouver, Burnaby. They've passed over the boundary line, some of them. Awful end. That's why it was very pertinent tonight, this weekend and tonight, to pray for our families. We don't realize the environment that they're going through and the influence that the old devil will use to take them the wrong way. And yet, it's possible to see them saved and develop and go on for God. You see, in verses 8 and 9, this develops more the thought of the corruption of this society. See verse number 8, they're persistent in how they handle things. It says there, these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds. On the negative for a moment, the old devil loves to get people who are raised in a sheltered environment, and when they are exposed to a corrupt society, the devil will make sure there's somebody there to ruin them. See verse number 9. This type of living is fully manifested. God will bring it out and will deal with them in His unique way. And I would suggest that all of us that have families and now growing into the third generation, the grandchildren, we have responsibility to tell them kindly. Doesn't mean that we have to constantly be hounding them. I'm not saying that. But when there's opportunity, and it comes up from time to time, be aware and tell them what's happening and how they can be preserved and kept in a cruel world. Now, I could spend all the time telling you about the corrupt society. Many of us know what's happening. And my point on this, as I leave it, we have little idea the power of influence. I know some, for example, that were raised in our homes, Christian homes, in assembly life. And this is on the negative side. And tonight, they don't even believe in the inspiration of the Holy Bible. They don't even believe that there's a God. What did that all come from? That's the influence of a wicked, corrupt society that's heading for doom. Thank God there are many others in the same environment. Prove God on a daily basis, and in the worst of conditions are preserved and are a testimony and are living for the God of heaven. See, that's the hindrances and the helps. Now let me just spend a minute here before we leave this. I want all of us, myself, to stop tonight for a minute and just think of the corrupt society that's around us. Think of the control of the political world. I listened to an individual today, and he was an unbeliever. He was describing the political world of 2015 and where we are in the Western civilization and what's going to happen as we continue. An unbeliever talking like that. Right away, I think of last day conditions, perilous times. Think of the corruption of a pleasure-loving society, world. We don't feed on any of this stuff. But we need to be aware of what's happening in the big picture, so that when the opportunity arises, we can other tell others what to avoid and how to avoid it. You think tonight of the confusion of the religious world. I was talking to some young folk here just in the last few weeks, and here's their question. If the assembly is so right, and the word of God is right, and it is, how come that we have got thousands in these mega churches? How would you answer that? We're not here to criticize anybody, but we're here to tell you the facts of life. Do you see any mega company? They obviously have entertainment to whatever degree to hold the folk. And people are confused. But there's only one way. And God has laid it down in His Word to follow the path of righteousness till the last step is taken. We need to be aware how to handle these, even on a private basis. I give you a simple example. Folks say, well, the morning meeting is boring. I'm getting nothing out of it. The thing is just dead. Well, we say on the positive note, did you do anything to help it? We're going down there to that other big company where there's plenty of fun and plenty of individuals and all kinds of things to entertain. And we have to ask ourselves, would the Lord be pleased with that? Here's another thing. And I have nobody in mind in this audience. You think of the commitment tonight to the world of sport. I understand we can't keep our families in a hot house, like a hot house plant. But I want to suggest tonight that anybody that has gone that route and have committed their lives to go that way, they've left the assembly years ago and gone another route. Power of influence again. I know several people, and that's what's happened to them. Some were in the professional world tonight, and they used to be in assembly life taking part. Oh, the power of influence tonight of the last days of a corrupt society. I've said enough about that. Now let's balance it. See the center section? 10 to 13. In contradistinction and in contrast to all that has been said, here's the positive side. Paul is telling Timothy, the greatness, the opportunities of service for the Lord Jesus. It's interesting that in this very chapter, there's an emphasis on knowledge. Thou hast fully known, verse 10, for example. That equates to what we're in the Bible reading there on Saturday. Peter's emphasis is knowledge. And so knowledge and practice go together. And the older man says to the younger man, the pattern of Paul, verse 10, Timothy, thou hast fully known my manner of life. They labored together for years. In close, their faith and their love and their devotion and loyalty and whatever word you want to put on it for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, Timothy was influenced by Paul. He says in other passages, you have listened to the truth of God that has been imparted among many witnesses. And he says, continue in what you have learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned it. That's my point again. Doesn't matter how difficult the conditions and how difficult it gets in assembly life, we teach the truth of God by the grace of God with all long-suffering and doctrine. See verse 12, for example. Here's the path of the godly. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And what's out there tonight could come into assembly life down the road tomorrow or whenever. We don't want to be hard men. We want to be men in touch with heaven to be a help to people. But there is a pathway. And if we're going to serve the Lord acceptably with reverence and godly fear, there's going to be opposition from whatever department. And you see, in that path, he's really telling them there's going to be opposition, persecution. Who had more opposition than Paul the Apostle, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? How one man could take what he took in three missionary journeys, and if you want to include the fourth one on ship from Caesarea to Rome, he was only upheld by the mighty power of God. And you and I have the same privilege. And you see, there's a promise for preservation. There's my point again. He's saying right here, out of all these persecutions, Timothy, the Lord delivered me. And not only will he deliver me, but he'll deliver all others who acknowledge the lordship of Christ in every department of life. Thank God tonight. There are many godly men who have crossed our pathway. We have sat at the feet of beloved brethren for decades. Some of them have gone home to heaven. Others are incapacitated. They'll never help us again. Do we really appreciate that? Absolutely. But then there comes a point where you have to dig for yourself. And you have to learn the truth of God for yourself. And dear younger men tonight, I would recommend to you, doesn't matter how busy you are, and have a little family around your feet and all the rest of it. We have been that route. You have to take time out alone to read the Word of God, to study it, and to ponder it. And I would recommend anything you enjoy, take a note of it. For as sure as you're there, you'll forget it. I was in a certain place here not too long ago, and we had a PhD in the audience. Good brother. Knows the Bible well. And I was trying to suggest that we should maybe take a note of what we enjoy. And he says to his wife this day, "I'm going to prove that man wrong." So they're sleeping calm and still, and around 3 a.m. in the morning, he woke up and he had three beautiful thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't commit them to paper. Now, very intelligent, top of the twig. See, whenever he woke at 6 o'clock in the morning, he couldn't remember one of them. He never remembered it. So, if we're going to mature and develop and be a help in God's assembly, I'm telling you, dear saints of God, there's no shortcuts to it. It'll take years if the Lord be not come. But you need to study the Word. People say all the time, "Man, I haven't time. I have to work two jobs to keep things going. I have to travel this, that, and the other thing." I've been through all of that. But you need to take time out to read the Word. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. And he couldn't preach it unless he could rightly divide it, chapter 2, and all the rest of it. So, here we are tonight. There's nothing new to tell you, nothing new under the sun. But it's on my heart tonight to just follow this thing about the last days. I want to tell you, dear saints of God, in the big picture, we might as well face it. We're losing ground in assembly life. And we're needing younger men to step up to the plate and to learn God and learn His Word as older men are passing on. Now, all kinds of other things could be said about that. I want to spend a minute now, just before we go, on this last section, the value of the Scriptures. You all know, from an infant, he learned the sacred writings and the letters and the Scripture. He was privileged. All we know about his father, he was a Greek. Acts chapter 16. Whether he was saved or not, I don't know. But his mother and grandmother had a big input in the young man's experience. And they poured into his experience in early days the great truths of Scripture. And it would seem that in the first missionary journey, when Paul came to Lystra and Iconium and Derbe and Antioch, he heard the Word. And it doesn't say it in the passage, but it's inferred that he was saved by the grace of God. I have come across recently a thinking. I tell some of these dear people that are in assembly life, I'm talking about parents. They don't want to bring their children to hear the gospel. I heard a brother telling us not too long ago. He says, "I don't want my children hardened by the gospel." I doubt if that's the right slant on things. We bring our children to hear the gospel, whatever age group they're in. Whenever they become adults, they have to make their own choices. That's different. I'm not thinking about that. How is the Spirit of God going to work? Well, He's still working in this age of ours. And the way we raised ours, and I tell you, they're not angels either. But where God was working was a good place to have the children. And the Lord will bless all those that put the Lord first. And so, the dear young fellow, all through the years from day one, was exposed to the truth of God. And now, Paul is writing to him, and he said, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Now the same Scriptures are profitable. And so he's saying here in this closing section, just pick up a thought or two here. See where it says in verse 14, for example, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." I tell you, dear saints of God, the truth of God will never change. Doesn't matter what people think or say or what they want to do to aid the religious world or whatever, the truth of God stands true. And he's encouraging the young man in spite of the opposition. You continue in what you have learned from the Holy Bible. It will stand the test every time. And of course, because he was brought up on it, verse 15, and the benefits of all that and all the rest of it, now he goes on to tell them, "See these Scriptures that you have been familiar with, and that even I'm writing to you, these are warm with the breath of God." That's the idea of inspiration. And this passage, in general terms, is what is written, the content. And everything that Paul wrote, by the way, wasn't inspired. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 shows that he wrote the Corinthians a third epistle, but it never made the canon. But you see here, warm with the breath of God. And the 2 Peter chapter 1 passage is those that are doing the writing, borne along by the Holy Spirit of God. Never left. Lost their personality and all the rest of it. It's fantastic. Now, he finishes on this point here. He says, now, there's benefits here in this Holy Scripture. And the bottom line is, it will truly furnish the man of God that he will develop and mature and be useful in the service of God. So one way of looking at this, at least an application, verse 16. These Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for teaching. That's what we base all our conduct on. The 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus is all what we believe and what we practice. They go together. If we haven't understood the Scripture or wrestle it to our own destruction, then our behavior, our conduct, will be reflected. Conversely, if we know the Holy Scripture and what the Lord wants from all our lives will be in keeping with that. Profitable for conviction, for reproof. If we are in any way involved in infringements, whatever way you want to cut it, the Holy Scriptures of God and the power of the Holy Spirit will bring to our attention what's required and what God wants. For correction, same thing. For child training. Training in righteousness. With this in view, that a man will be rounded off fully. Remember what we said about these men, Peter and John, their background. John, a son of thunder. Peter, a man that used the sword. These men walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. The products of the Holy Spirit were seen in their writings, as we have already pointed out. You want to be a man of God or a woman of God, you need to do like Enoch did, walk with God. With all the ups and downs of life, Enoch was a married man with a family. conditions were dreadful, exactly the same as us. Oh, the value of the Holy Scripture. Do we read it? Do we ponder it? Very, very simple, but I'm telling you, dear saints of God, I know nothing about Chemnitz, but I do know this in the big picture, that we are reading less of the Word of God as a people of God in assembly life than our fathers did. We have more helps now electronically than ever we have had before. And yet we're losing ground. Oh, the Lord, stir our hearts tonight. Conditions in the last days. Four Gospels of the New Testament that outline the pathway of Christ. You want to learn the Bible? Look for him in every page. The book of the Acts, the one history book of the New Testament, is the preaching of Christ. Can't read that book without seeing people preach Christ. That's what we should do. See the 21 epistles, the preeminence of Christ, wherever you go. Christological sections in all of the prison epistles and so on. One revelation. The power of Christ in testimony. On the throne, through the great tribulation, the termination of time and all the rest of it. We've been over some of that ground. Oh, the Lord, help us tonight. We're in a vile society. But there's virtue in serving the Lord Jesus to whatever degree. And then, of course, there's a value in the Holy Scriptures of truth. Now, I've only given you a very quick run through. I'll leave all the rest of it for another time. And it's been a pleasure to be with you. And do trust that the Lord will help us one and all to live for Christ till the last step is taken. Thank you very much for coming and for listening to the word. And we'll have a little word of prayer. We'll sing a verse or two of a hymn. And it's time to go. Thank you. Our Father.